I'd like to welcome everybody. Last week we looked at verses 1 through 6 of Matthew 5, the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And this section is called the Beatitudes. And this coming January, for the Sunday morning Bible class, we're going to be doing a study of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But this is the Beatitudes. And last week we looked at verses 1 through 6, where Jesus expressed the idea, the blessed are. And they are, a lot of them, well, all of them, they're kind of counterculture for what the world would think, what the world thought then, what the world thinks now. We looked at how blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. The world doesn't look at it that way. Blessed are the meek. Rough, tough, rich, powerful. That's what is the measure of standard in the world's eyes. Not the meek. And we ended up with, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That are hungering and thirsting after God's word, after his will, his righteousness. You know, there's a term that the kids use today, thirsty. You know, that you're longing after. You're longing, you know, they're thirsty for attention. They're thirsty for acclaim, thirsty for acknowledgement. And they just simply use the term thirsty. And I tell you, Jesus wants us to be thirsty like that for his word, for the righteousness of God. Not attention. There's plenty in the world that are seeking attention. But I want us to look now. We covered that last week. We're going to look at the last half, starting in verse 7. I appreciate Ken reading those verses. In verse 7, Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. You know, being merciful is a reflection of us. Being merciful is a reflection of our heart. Everybody wants mercy. Everybody wants mercy when they mess up. But when they need it, they want it. But when they need to give it, that's a whole nother story. It demonstrates the merciful. It demonstrates an understanding of God's grace. The more merciful you are, you get it. The people that have needed mercy before, they get it. The people that understand what God did for us, gave his son. The cost was high for our salvation. God paid it. Because it was something that we couldn't come up with. God paid a very high price, and that was of his son. Those that understand mercy understand God's grace. In Matthew 6, verse 12, in the very next chapter, Jesus, in what we sometimes refer to as the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer, the disciples were wanting him to teach them how to pray. And in that prayer, he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. You know, we want mercy. Let's get mercy the way we give it out. And that kind of puts it in perspective. How much are you willing, latitude, are you willing to give others? Jesus talked about this in Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? I can just picture Peter thinking he's really doing something good. That he's going beyond what Jesus would ever want him to do. If a brother sins against me, not just forgive him up to maybe even seven times. And Jesus responds, kind of deflates Peter. You know, Peter thinks he's doing something good, and he says, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, I don't know if I've ever been in a situation where I've had to forgive somebody of the same offense to me seven times. But I sure haven't had to do it 70 times seven. But Jesus says, you do it that much. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven, and he goes into this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him that debt. Wow. I wish my mortgage company, because I tell you, I would be more than willing to fall down on my knees and beg them. I really would. I'd write them a sugary sweet letter. I would be more than willing. I'd grovel. I really would. Forgive me if they would do this. But he had compassion. I don't think my mortgage company has any compassion. But the master was moved with compassion. He saw him as a person, not just a figure of debt. And he owed him a lot. And he forgave him that debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Nothing. Nothing compared to what he had owed the master. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Said the same thing that he had just said. The very same words. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay. I never understood that. Yo, money. How much money are you going to get out of him if he's in prison? But anyway, had him thrown in prison until he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. Jesus gave him a parable to explain compassion and mercy. We want it when we want it. But how willing are we? And how bent out of shape do we get when somebody gives an infraction toward us? And then I just think of all the things that I do to offend or to sin against my brother. Am I as willing to forgive them as they have me? It continues, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Kind of puts it in perspective. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Mercy is being forgiven of something that you shouldn't be. Mercy is it not being held to your account when you should, when it should. That's mercy. Forgiving a brother or sister of something when they are wrong. We're not debating whether it was wrong or not, but being forgiven. God has done that for us. There was no way we could pay the debt for salvation on our own. But God did it through His Son and gave us mercy. Man, you know, all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23 and 6:23. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Pure, not defiled. Not a heart that's polluted, that's divided. A righteous heart, an innocent heart. Matthew 18, Jesus uses children to explain the pure in heart. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus uses a child. You think of the pureness of a child. What you see is what you get with a child. They don't have airs that they put on. They're brutally honest. When they hug you, they mean it. When they greet you, that they're glad to see it, they mean it. And Jesus uses children. Look at talk about mercy. Look at how children forgive. You know, us adults, we could learn a little bit from children. They can have a spat, and 12 minutes later, they're back playing with each other. We can have a crossword with somebody and hold that grudge for generations, decades. Well, so-and-so said such-and-such back to me back in 1972. For they shall see God. The pure in heart will see God. And that's our goal. That's why we're doing what we do. If we don't have a chance to see God, we're wasting our time. That's why we're Christians. That's why we do what Jesus says so we can see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. What a glorious person this is. A peacemaker are mediators. Peacemakers are patient. It's not easy being a peacemaker. Trying to patch things up between people. Sometimes you're the peacemaker with another brother. Sometimes you're the peacemaker between brothers. Between a brother and God. You're bringing them back into the way. You're making peace with them. You have to be patient. You have to be just. You don't pick sides over who you like. You pick sides over what's right and wrong. And it's very, very needed. Anybody can tear up. Anybody can destroy. And rip apart. It's a lot easier to make a mess than to clean it up. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Romans 12, verse 18, Paul says, if it is possible, and Paul understands it may not always be possible, as much as depends on you. If you're going to have a riff with somebody, make sure it's not your fault. As much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Anybody can cause division. Anybody can cause hard feelings, rip apart, gossip, talk about others. But what about building up? I tell you, if I was sitting in your seat, I could have a list of things that I do or don't do a mile long. But you know what? The words of encouragement I get from you, it just winds me up and keeps me going. If I was sitting in your seat, I would have a whole list. Oh, he did this, he did that, he said this wrong, I could rip me up one side and down the other. But the encouragement that I get from you to teach God's word is amazing. Remember, anybody can tear down. Jesus is praising the peacemakers. In Proverbs 6, he shows just how much he dislikes, that it's an abomination to him, people that aren't peacemakers. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. Would it make you feel better? Well, I didn't go to heaven because I committed murder. Would it make you feel better that if I never committed murder, I never committed adultery, I did, but I lied, I caused division. And the last one, a false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among the brethren. Would it make you feel better to not get to go to heaven because of that over, well, I didn't murder? They're putting it, these are things God hates. God hates people that tear things down and destroys. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And if we're sons, we're not alien sinners. We're seen as sons of God, not a sinner. And if sons, also heirs to the glory of Christ. In Romans 8, starting in 16, it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Verses 10 through 12, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Many of the people in that crowd are going to wind up being persecuted not in just a few years. Some of them will be thrown into jail. Some of them will be martyred for their beliefs. And Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That it's going to happen. but be persecuted for good, not for bad. And not only they, but we, when we're persecuted, we'll be in good company. So was Peter persecuted. So was John. The apostles, the prophets before them. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. 2 Timothy, Paul addresses this to Timothy. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's going to happen. Know it up front ahead of time. It's a lot easier to face. In 1 Peter, Peter says, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. I have no problem with somebody suffering for doing bad. Being put in jail if you're doing bad. That's life. But let's not suffer for doing bad. Peter says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Peter, the man that wrote that through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is going to wind up being crucified just like his Savior. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. But on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a Let none of you suffer as a murderer. Check. A thief. Check. An evildoer. Mostly check. Or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. And the why? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's what we want. That's our ultimate goal. Last week and this week, we looked at some words straight from Jesus. Almost like proverbs, little snippets to do these things. And it makes our life better. Not only will it make our life better, it will make us more pleasing to God. Amen. And that's what we want to do. That's why we're here today, is to worship Him, to be pleasing to Him, be found in Him. And those are the questions you have to ask. Are you in Him? And will you be found in Him? We not only need to be baptized to get into Christ, but we need to stay in Him. To be found in Him. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you have not put your Lord on in baptism yet, you need to, so you can be added to the Lord's church. If you need to repent of sin, don't let that sin keep you from being with God. If you need prayers of the congregation, we would love to pray with and or for you. For whatever, please keep Mer Deputy in your prayers as she's healing. If you've been looking for a church home, if you've been looking at some congregations in town and have visited with them and would like to identify, work with us, please do so. Please worship with us. Work with us. Lend a hand. Make a difference with us. Whatever your need, please come forward, let your needs be known while Curtis leads us in the invitation song. Let's stand and sing.